Thank you, and welcome everybody to our Q3 results call. As usual, I need to point you to the statement, the disclaimer on forward-looking statements. I will give a brief overview, and then Paul will take us through the detail of our Q3 results. So on slide three, it's been another strong quarter with EBITDA up 13%. That takes the year-to-date position now to 15% ahead. After adjusting for regulatory impacts, which have been significant, of course, in the year-to-date period, underlying EBITDA growth is 32%, benefiting from a reversal of the football results that we saw in the first half of the last financial year. The highlights of the results, again, has been online net revenue growth, which was 19%. Now, that would have been higher, just shy of 30%, in fact, but for some new regulatory requirements. So we've implemented more stringent requirements as far as source of funds tests, and also we suffered from some instability around the introduction of reality checks, which are pop-ups in-game. That was 3 to 4 weeks of instability that in the quarter probably cost us about $2.5 million, and maybe there's a carry forward risk of a couple of million going into Q4. The growth of the sportsbook was stronger than the average growth, so stronger than the Gala websites, with Call.co.uk growing at 26% and Eurobet.it at 25%. And a particular driver, particularly of the Coral results, was our ongoing successful implementation of our multi-channel strategy, where we signed up 74,000 Connect customers during the quarter, with Connect now accounting for nearly 50% of net revenue in Coral. It was a good Euros as well, and our acquisition strategy worked well over the tournament, with 230,000 first-time depositors during the quarter as a whole. We again decided not to advertise on TV, as was the case in the World Cup, simply because of the cost and the difficulty of generating a return on that investment. And that seems to have worked quite well for us. Current trading, the trends largely have continued into Q4, although the gross win margin is currently behind for two reasons. One, particularly strong start to the football season last year, but also horse racing results in week commencing the 15th of August, which is the week of the York Festival, when horse racing results went badly against us. On the merger front, we are well into the process now of disposing of the shops that were required by the CMA to sell. So that is a process that's going very well, and we hope to be in a position to update further in the next four or so weeks, with then merger completion expected, hopefully before the end of October. Paul.
Thanks, Carl. So turning to the numbers on slide five, and starting with the Q3 highlights, it was a decent quarter, as Carl mentioned, plagued by one or two issues. But nonetheless, EBITDA was 13% ahead off the back of net revenue that was 10% ahead. I'll run through some more of the divisional highlights for quarter three in a moment. But the other key point of note for Q3 on this slide was that EBIT benefited not only from the improved EBITDA, but also from a 31% reduction in depreciation and amortization. That's a result of our online relaunch spend that we incurred in 2011-2012 now being almost fully depreciated, and the Italian licenses also now fully amortized, meaning that we would expect a full year depreciation charge of something in the order of 50 million. So that left us 15% ahead at EBITDA for the year to date, and 24% at the EBIT level, having taken an extra 29.3 million of additional regulatory and tax costs in the first half of the year. On slide six, we've set out the year-to-date FY16 Q3 EBITDA bridge. In that bridge, and for the last time, we've rebased FY16 to take account of the regulatory and tax measures that were introduced in 2015. Now, that reduces the FY15 Q3 year-to-date EBITDA by 20.3 million. An underlying EBITDA, therefore, grew year-on-year 44 million, with growth in every division, and particularly strong growth year-to-date in online, supported by a 15.4 million increase in online marketing costs, which were up 35%, but driving significant growth. Year-to-date, we've benefited from stronger margins, including a decent Euro 2016 performance, but also seen good volume growth, particularly in Eurobet retail and the sports-led online websites. Looking now at the Q3 divisional performance and starting with Coral Retail on slide 7. Stakes growth in Coral Retail was 6% below the same quarter last year and indeed behind the run rate for the first half. But a third of this decline, or 2 percentage points, was as a result of a higher level of shop closures than in the prior year. And we also were impacted by lower recycling in horse racing, where margins were good for the bookmaker in the quarter, but that did significantly reverse during July and August. Coral Retail also suffered because of the tougher anti-money laundering checks that we implemented at the back end of Q2 and that took full effect in Q3 and also had a negative impact on the top line. Despite that OTC stakes decline, positive OTC margin gains and a good machines performance meant that net revenue was still up 5%, which I think is a pretty credible performance. Operating costs in the quarter were up 9%, which was as a result of extending summer opening hours in some of our shops and also a higher level of connect bonuses for shop colleagues as a result of the higher volume of recruitment levels that we saw, pleasingly, during the quarter. We also suffered some one-off training costs for new player protection measures. That said, the overall level of cost inflation for the full year will be between 4 and 5%. And I think this highlights that reporting EBITDA on a quarterly basis can be slightly misleading because of the timing of certain cost phasings, as we can certainly see here in Coral Retail. Going forwards, once the merger is completed in a public environment, we'll only be issuing net revenue statistics on a quarterly basis, as indeed our public quoted peers do now. Eurobet Retail on slide 8 had a very encouraging quarter. It was a good performance, buoyed by the Euros, but also reflecting the positive impact of the shop relocations we undertook at the back end of FY15, which completed in Q1 of this financial year. Bet in play in retail is also having a marked impact on stake performance. This has led to Eurobet cementing its position in the retail market, with share increasing to 15.4%, measured by gross win, which is up 1.8 percentage points. Which is a market-leading performance in the Italian retail market. Despite a good football margin in the Euros and certainly better football margins year-to-date, the end of the Serie A season saw very customer-friendly results and resulted in a margin deterioration year-on-year against Q3, so 15.9% compared to 18.5% in FY15. Subject, however, to results in the last quarter of our financial year to September, we should see Eurobet Retail achieving the 20 million or so of EBITDA that we would expect, having made the investments we made in the new licenses and repositioned 250 or so shops over the last year or so. Finally, for the divisions, turn to online on slide 9. where we saw EBITDA improve by 4.5 million or 26%, within which Coral.co.uk net gaming revenue was up 26% off the back of a strong Euro tournament and improving spend per head, offset in part by the issues Carl mentioned on the gaming platform and indeed tougher regulatory measures. Actives were up in Coral.co.uk 35% compared to 41% and 26% in quarters 1 and 2 respectively. Bonusing and marketing costs as a percentage of NGR were higher than FY15 in the quarter, primarily as a result of the Euros. However, the actives that we recruited as a result of this incremental cost have so far shown greater value characteristics during the World Cup, during the Euros than in the World Cup in 2014, and that bodes well as we go into the next financial year. For the financial year as a whole, we'd expect bonus costs to be around about 24% of GGR, so up slightly on the full year FY15, and marketing to be at around 27% of NGR, whereas FY15 was 26%. And that really just reflects the fact that there's a football tournament in this year and there wasn't last year. The Gala websites saw lower growth than in the previous two quarters, but again, this was the business that was most severely impacted by the gaming platform issues that we had during May in particular. Bonus costs were higher in the quarter than in the prior year as we attempted to win back customers lost in the early part of the quarter. And I'm pleased to say that actives growth and staking levels have now returned to much more normal levels. Eurobet.it net gaming revenue was up 34%, driven by actives up 33%. Again, the Euros had a positive impact here, but also an improved online product offering made a big difference as well. Bonus levels and marketing costs in Italy online are lower than in the UK, and this reflects the ongoing success of the multi-channel offering in Italy. Almost a third of online recruits still come from the retail estate, and the brand has real resonance, particularly in southern Italy. Depreciation in online was lower in the quarter because, as I mentioned earlier, we have now depreciated almost in full the assets that we created as part of the relaunch in 2012. On slide 10, I've set out the year-to-date cash flow, and you'll see an improved year-on-year free cash flow performance halfway down the chart, improving by 41.2 million before taking account of exceptional deal and integration costs. This has been driven by the increased EBITDA year-on-year and indeed the lower interest costs following the disposal of Gala Bingo during Q1. Since we reported our H1 results, the group has generated an additional 12.5 million of cash, and in the period up until completion, which we now estimate to be around mid to the end of October, we'd anticipate generating circa a further 30 million of cash. However, under the merger agreement, Gala Coral is allowed to extract dividends from the Coral Group in line with the amount of dividends that Ladbrokes will pay, and this should amount to somewhere in the region of about 23 million. And there are certain other permitted payments allowed to be extracted by Gala Coral from the Coral Group that will form part of the enlarged business with Ladbrokes. Therefore, for modelling purposes, you should assume that we will transfer around 865 million of net debt into the enlarged group at completion. I'll now hand you back to Shelley, who will lead us through the Q&A process.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please key star then one on your telephone. If you need to withdraw that question, it's star two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you will be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. So to ask a question, it's star then one on your telephone. Thank you. And your first question comes from Patrick Coffey. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi everyone. Just a quick one actually on marketing costs. Could you maybe just talk us through what you're seeing in terms of marketing cost inflation? Just cognizant that some of your competitors have seen big increases in marketing costs year on year, so whether you're being impacted by that and whether that will have any impact in investment going into next year. Admittedly, you've got the merger on your hands as well, but anything on marketing costs? Thanks.
Sure. There was, of course, inflation in terms of the BT and Sky football packages, and we have got into those more significantly this year than last year. In fact, progressively over the last 3 to 4 years, as the scale of the business has increased, we have progressively invested more on TV. We've as you know, though, we declined to advertise on TV during the Euros because we find it very difficult to get a return on that level of cost. So in football tournaments, we tend to steer away from TV, and that worked well for us in the World Cup, and it's worked well for us again in the Euros. In fact, the lifetime value of the customers that we've acquired during the Euros are around double the level that we acquired during the World Cup. So hopefully we'll see that positive return come through in the next quarter and indeed beyond. So overall, yes, our CPAs are creeping up. We have obviously a great advantage in the performance of Coles Connect products, and we've increased the incentivisation for our teams to £20 per sign up, which is increasing our CPAs a little. But off the back of that, we're seeing continued growth in the number of sign ups from Connect, which is kind of the reverse of what everyone was expecting, because I think people expected to see the number of sign ups tail off very significantly as we penetrated the retail customer base. That's not happening, which is great news. We're also seeing inflation in bingo, bingo is clearly a very competitive market still. We think that we're growing ahead of that market, just under 10%, high single digits. It's quite tough, and CPAs have increased in bingo as well.
Brilliant, thank you. And if I could just follow up on a separate question, just in terms of competitive intensity in around pricing. So maybe not so much at the Euros, but at the start of the Premier League season. Any changes in terms of that competitive intensity? Have you seen any kind of key competitors dramatically increase the attractiveness of pricing for punters, or is there anything that you can kind of shed some light on in terms of competitive intensity? Thanks.
Nothing specific. I mean, everybody is now following the format of enhanced offers, which actually I think Coral probably pioneered in the market a few years ago. But the proportion of overall stakes accounted for in those offers tends to be really quite small. So football, we're not seeing that so much. Clearly, pricing around the horse racing festivals is very keen, and results have not been great this year in any of the festivals, in fact, as well. So we've taken a bit of a bath over the festivals, but football, no, we haven't seen any significant change.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Cheers.
And your next question is from Geoffrey Harwood. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions. First of all, I wondered if you're disclosing the figures for the Euro 2016 as some of your competitors have, or if not, maybe you could just comment on that. And then secondly, on the anti-money laundering, is the drag likely to be similar for the next few quarters, or have you been able to learn and improve the process, thereby reducing the impact?
Sure. So, I mean, in terms of the source of funds issues, we think it will probably amount to a bottom line hit of just shy of 10 million this year. That's across both retail and online. That will roll forward next year, and this will fall mostly in the first half, to maybe an additional 5 to 7 million. So we'll end up at something like a fully annualised impact of 15 to 17 million, that kind of level. I mean, in terms of learning, I guess our learning following the Gambling Commission's various investigations, including into one of our own customers, Gary Watts, our learnings are that we really need to adopt a pretty much zero tolerance approach, and it's very, very different to the situation a couple of years ago, which I'm not sure is fully appreciated or acknowledged by the Commission, because, I mean, effectively we are now in a position of our customers being guilty until proven innocent, certainly where they are high-staking customers. And that's basically the new policy we have implemented, and as I say, we're sort of, by the end of this year, we'll be 60-70% through the annualised cost, with a few million flowing into next year. I think, in truth, we've probably been a bit behind the curve on this. Certainly in retail, I think our major competitors have probably been operating to more stringent checks than we have for maybe 6 months or so, longer than us. So, of course, in the back half of our last financial year, we enjoyed very strong stakes growth. If I was post-rationalising that now, Geoffrey, I would say that that might have been due to displacement from our competitors who were implementing these kind of checks at that time. That makes the comp for us in terms of OTC staking particularly tough in the back half of this financial year.
And then just on the Euros, Geoffrey, we haven't disclosed the exact figure, but just to put a bit of colour on it, I mean, it's compared to a World Cup, it's still small, despite the fact that the results were bookmaker friendly. So, I mean, we're talking sort of low single digit across the group. And, I mean, I think what I would note is that everybody had expected, with the enlarged tournament and more teams, that the group stages would potentially be punter friendly, and that didn't turn out to be the case, with some of the minnows having, you know, as we all know, some significant success. So margins ran just slightly ahead of sort of 25% in retail, so in line with what you'd hope to see for a normal football season, and online lower than that. Obviously, because there's some in-play in there, and we averaged out at the group, as a group, at around 20-21%. But it's still, you know, I mean, it was good and better than we expected, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't move the dial significantly.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks.
And your next question is from Klaus Mendler. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello. Perhaps I missed it, but given that net debt is currently around 785 million, and the target is 865 million. Will there be a 80 million distribution to current Gala shareholders prior to the merger, or did I not get that right?
No, so it's a perfectly sensible question. No, there won't be, and the reason that there won't be is that within the Gala Coral Group residual businesses, there are a number of contingent liabilities that exist, some for historic reasons, some off the back of the disposals of our retail casino business and indeed our retail bingo business, some through, you know, property transactions that we've undertaken in the past. So there will be a need to retain a level of cash post the completion of the deal and the distribution of the Ladbrokes Coral PLC shares to the Gala Coral shareholders. We will have to retain some cash for a period of time. That's not to say ultimately some of that cash, there could be further distributions down the line, but it certainly wouldn't be instant, no.
Okay, thank you.
And there are no more questions. Just to remind everybody, it's star then one on your telephone if you do have a question.
Okay, Shelley, if there are no more questions, just like to say thank you again for joining us. And, well, we may not have another quarterly results call for Gala Coral Group or Coral Group as we now are. So let's hope that's the case because that will mean that we have completed the merger with Ladbrokes. But thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining and enjoy the rest of your day.